Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Would you guys have a good holiday? I guess two, huh? Christmas and New Year's. I lose track of the time when I leave the state. But God is good, and we had a good time. We went to Colorado, visited my parents and my sisters, and went up to Steamboat Springs and froze. The day before we landed, it was 9 below 0 in Boulder. Isn't that special? Anyway, so we had a good time. My wife, the very next day, we got in about 11:30. Got home about 11:30 at night on Thursday, and the next day my wife's up with me, and she's, man, it's cold. I'm like, it is nothing compared to what we just came out of. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And I want to touch on some things we touched on a few weeks ago. How was last week, by the way? I wasn't here, so. And I haven't heard the recording.
The rattling of the sound system this morning.
Yeah.
I saw the wise guys out there setting off fireworks.
There you go. Yeah. We'll get that resolved. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but we'll get it resolved. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 1. There you go. The wise guys. I was trying to say, who is that? Who is the wise guys? Get those wise guys out of here. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons, through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his kind intention. Everybody say his kind intention. The kind intention of his will, and to the praise of the glory of his grace. You keep finding this phrase, to the praise of his glory, in this book, in this letter. And we need to understand something God likes to show out. You just have to understand that that's how he is. He just loves to show off. And understand, you know, that sounds twisted if you are coming from a twisted place, but the word says, to those that are pure, all things are pure. Right? So we always want to make sure that we are understanding where our God is coming from, but he loves to show out. And he loves to show out through his people. In fact, the nature of our daddy is that he wants to make you great. Did you hear what I just said? He wants to make you great. That's his desire. Because he knows in the process of making you great, he gets to make himself great in the eyes of other people. So we have to understand this. Religion has trained us a certain way. And what you find in this book of Ephesians is the fact that really Paul is contrasting a natural system that comes out of the mind of man versus that which comes out of the mind of daddy. What are his intentions and what did he do for the human race and which systems does he want us to function by? And they are extremely different. And so here he says this, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense. Everybody say it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's not something you're trying to get. It's not something you're working towards. It's a done deal. In fact, he goes on to say that he's blessed us with every blessing possible in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, hold your place here and go over to, just go over to chapter 3, look at verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11 says this, that this was in accordance with his eternal purpose. Everybody say his eternal purpose. Which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so we understand something here. We're dealing with a plan that was put in place before you existed. Right? So if you weren't around, in fact, hold your place here and go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's important that you see this and you keep reinforcing yourself in this truth, folks, because if you allow the system of the world to separate you from who you are, you'll try to function out of who you think you are. And how many know the system of religion always wants you to do that? Because if you function out of who you think you are, then that means it has say into an input into that picture. And the system of religion, Daddy never intended for it to have any voice in your life. You know, and understand what I'm saying when I say that. I'm not talking about any particular denomination. I'm not talking about any particular building. I'm not talking about any particular anything. I'm saying it's an influence that comes from the same influence that influences natural men. And so we have to understand this, folks. And he deals with this issue in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. Understand this, that if you understand we're not dealing with people, we're not dealing with buildings, we're not dealing with denominations, we're dealing with mindsets. And those mindsets come from some place. And we have to understand, like Paul understood, that the mindsets that are in the religious system are coming from the same source that the mindsets that are coming from natural men who never darken the church door. They're coming from both. Both of those are coming from the same place. So so darkness is playing both ends against the middle. We know that's true because in natural men, the system that they're under dominates and oppresses them and creates condemnation, and so they buck against that and they go the opposite direction. The system over here that is the religious system in man, it's the same system. It creates condemnation, oppression, and people revolt and go the other way. So we have to understand that both of those systems are controlled by the same source. Okay, so what Paul is dealing with here, I said turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 17. It says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves in reverence during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold with your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. How many people function in the earth according to what mom and daddy said? So why do you have these ways of thinking, religiously or otherwise? Well, that's because that's the way I was raised. Well, my dad said this, or my mom said this, or my grandpa said this, or Uncle so-and-so said this, or you know, whatever. And so people, they hold on to their natural connections, those that were inherited by their forefathers. He says in verse 19, but with precious, you were not redeemed with those things, but you were redeemed through the precious blood of the Lamb, unblemished and spotless. The Lamb is unblemished and spotless of Christ. He says in verse 20, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. So the Lamb was unblemished and spotless. Now go back over to Ephesians. The Lamb was unblemished and spotless, and he was known before the foundation of the world. How many know this is talking about Christ? The second member of the Godhead. Before the foundation of the world, he was known as the Lamb, and he was unblemished and spotless. And this in Ephesians says that Father, Daddy made a choice to see you. Chapter 1, verse 3, he's just as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world, just as he chose you in him or in the Lamb before the foundation of the world, that you would be holy and blameless before him. Who is he seeing here? He's seeing the Lamb. If the Lamb was unblemished and spotless, and he was known before the foundation of the world, and then he made a choice to see you unblemished, holy, and spotless before the foundation of the world, this isn't based on anything you did or didn't do. Folks, I'm saying this, it's important that you understand. This is why I tell you that the grace of God is not what it's been defined as. Because the grace of God by the religious system has been defined as, it's called, quote, unmerited favor. There's nothing merited or unmerited about it. You didn't exist. That's why I tell you, the grace of God is speaking more to the working of his power because of his presence in your life. Paul talks about the grace of God as an empowerment. Something that works through you, not something that God has towards you. And I've said it this way before. You say, well, Pastor, why do you keep reiterating this? Because we've had hundreds of years of the wrong definition. We're not going to turn it in a month. Or a year. But my desire is, and I believe it's the desire of the Spirit of God, that whenever you read about the grace of God, and he talks about it in this book, I'll show you today, whenever you read about and see the grace of God in the New Testament, you don't revert back to the word that most people define really as the same word that means mercy. Grace is not what God has towards you to get you into heaven. Grace is what God works through you to get heaven out of you. Because it has to do with the union of his presence with you. His spirit with your spirit. His spirit in your spirit. Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. With us. That union of him with us, in us, is an empowerment. It is the grace of God that works through us. It's the working of his power that works through us. Here in Ephesians, Paul is talking about, he says, look, that decision was made before there ever was a human being. But get this, what we need to understand is, folks, your identity in the planet, in the grand scheme of things, according to 1 Peter and Ephesians, your identity was in Christ before it was ever in anything else. See, this thing is a whole lot bigger than just when man started breathing on the earth. It's still a lot bigger than that. Because, I mean, if you get into over in Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about, you know, what we were when we were natural men. In chapter 2, he says, you know, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And, you know, formerly you walked according to the course of this world system. According to the prince of the power of the air. As a natural man, you walked according to the system that was in place. And it says, that there's the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among them you too all formerly lived in the lusts of the passions of the demands of your natural man. That's what the flesh means, your natural man. And you indulged in the desires of that natural man and of the mind of the natural man. And you were by nature children of anger. Do you ever notice that people in the world are by nature children of anger? You want to know why? Because when you get on the religious, gerbil wheel, and make no mistake about it, I don't care whether you're a natural man that never darkened the church door, or you're a guy that is religious and goes to church every Sunday, you know, I don't care, either one of them, it's the same. You're on this religious gerbil wheel and you're running, you're trying to be good, you're trying to be good enough, you're trying to make sure that you're not a bad person, that you don't do this, you don't do that, and you're better than the next guy. And every once in a while you fall down and hit your face, and the wheel goes around, you hit, and you get bruised, and you get back up, and you're more determined than before, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna do it again. I'm a good person, and then there's obvious, there's this cycle that you continue to go through. I don't care whether you're a guy over here that never went to church. Folks, I'm gonna tell you, the stuff that's in the world system, I don't care whether it's environmentalism or whatever it is. It's a religion. You want to know why it's a religion? Because the very premise of both of them, whether they're inside a church or outside a church dealing with natural things, the reason why man gravitates to those things, because it gives him value and it makes him feel like he's somebody. If the guy over here in the natural world, you know, can hug a tree and feel good about the fact that he cares about the trees and he cares about the whales and he cares about all those things, should we care about those things? Yes. Because the earth was given to the dominion of man, and we ought not to be stupid about it and just be wasteful and destroy it. But see, the challenge, the thing that natural man doesn't understand, that natural man was never designed to be a steward of the earth. He was never designed to be a steward. He can't steward the earth. The only one that was given stewardship of the earth was the man that was connected to God, that had his wisdom, his insight, and his spirit. Unfortunately, over here on this side, in the church world, you know, people can become a new creation, but they're never trained to live as a new creation. They're still walking in both arenas. They say they're a new creation, but they're walking like and thinking and acting like natural man, and so they've never been trained to live out of their spirit. How many know that if we are in step with the Spirit of God and learning to go that direction, do you think He's going to teach you to not be a good steward of the earth? The difference is this. You're not going to be a steward of the earth because you're trying to gain favor or trying to boost yourself up in your own eyes. You're important and you feel good about you because after all, you know, you're better than the next person around. See, that's what the natural system, all this stuff that is in the world about environmentalism, all that kind of stuff, it's tainted and twisted only because what happens is the reason why men gravitate to that, or even in the political arena, they gravitate to certain perspectives and mindsets. It's not because it's about somebody else. It's about because of the way that makes them feel. Because there's a deficiency inside of man, and he always wants to feel like he is accepted, that he is, better than the next guy next to him. So they get all these mindsets and all this puffed up ways of thinking that somehow they're more advanced intellectually, they care more, or whatever. And the only reason that is there is because they haven't realized that from the foundation of the world, their identity wasn't in themselves. Their identity was always in God. Always. We think this thing with Jesus going to the cross and being raised from the dead and, you know, men becoming new creations, we think that's a New Testament concept. That shows you how short-sighted we are. Because God is an eternal being, and He made man in His image after His likeness. And He said, let's bless them and cause them to subdue, have dominion over the earth. But their identity was always in God. Your identity was in God before it was in anything else ever. The biggest challenge with the religious system that's in the earth is the religious system only deals with you from the place of the fall forward. And in so many cases, it ties you to that identity that you're a, quote, fallen man. Completely ignoring what Jesus came and accomplished. This is what Ephesians is talking about. Ephesians is talking about, you know, the fact that, look, before there ever was a man, man's identity was in God. The Lamb was known before the foundation of the world, and it was spotless without wrinkle, and He says He made a choice to see you in Ephesians chapter 1 before that, the same time period, that you would be holy and blameless in His presence. In love, He predestined you to the adoption as sons. Now, let's deal with that word sons. That word sons in the Greek, it's also mentioned in Romans chapter 8. In fact, hold your place here and go back over to Romans chapter 8. How many want to get a bigger picture this morning? He said in Ephesians, He said that He predestined us in Him, in love, He predestined us to the adoption, or you could say the placing, as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. First, He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world to see you holy and blameless. And his eternal purpose was He predestined us to the placing of sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. So what does that word sons mean? Well, in Romans chapter 8, look at verse 12. Yeah, let's go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, in Romans chapter 8, says, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Now, let me ask you a question. Is he talking to natural men or is he talking to new creations? So it's not the word if at all. In the Greek New Testament, it's the word sense. He's not, it's not a question here. He's making a statement of fact. He says, since the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, verse 12, we are under obligation not to the natural man to live according to the natural man. But, verse 13, for if you are living according to the natural man, you must die. But if by the Spirit, small s, notice some verses, some Bible says big s. But we're dealing with the contrast between the natural man and the Spirit man, right? In chapter 8. The Spirit man with the Holy Spirit in him. That's the contrast. So he says, you know, if you're living according to the natural man, how many know the natural man out there does not live out of his spirit? He lives out of his head. And as far as his head's concerned, his head is where the buck stops. It's not, he doesn't live out of his spirit. He's not connected in his spirit to the creator of the universe. He lives out of his mind, his will, his emotions. The general mindset of most human beings that are natural people is there is nothing else other than what I see. Because they're not living life out of their spirit. So he's saying if you live out of your natural man, you know, the end result of that is going to produce death. He said, but if you live out of your spirit, again, he's not talking to natural men, he's talking to new creations. He said, if you're living according to your spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, the desires of the natural man. Verse 14, for all who are being, or literally, all who are receiving on an ongoing, constant basis, leading by the Spirit of God, you could say in your spirit, verse 9, these are the sons of God. Now, the word sons there is the same word used over in Ephesians that he says he predestined us to the placing of as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. What is he saying here? The word sons there is the word huios, H-U-I-O-S. It's a Greek word. And it literally means those that are mature. So what he's saying over in Romans is the way the track is laid, the way the eternal purpose was designed was for human beings to live out of their spirit with the nature of his spirit in them. And those that are receiving leading from his spirit in our spirit, those are the mature ones of God. Those that are receiving leading from his spirit out of our spirit. In Ephesians it says that the way the track is laid, the eternal purpose is, number one, he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. He made a choice to see himself. Your identity is him. Your identity has always been him. I love this. As I read the book of Ephesians, it's almost like this. It's like Father never gave darkness the satisfaction of acknowledging that they actually did anything. It's like he never acknowledges the fall. This is the way it was before the foundation of the world. I made the decision for it to be this way according to the foundation of the world. And then Jesus came into the earth to walk that thing out and to secure it as a man, so it was a legal transaction. But he never missed a beat because Daddy made the decision before the foundation of the world to see human beings holy and blameless before him in his sight, because the plan was for every human being to live out of their spirit, receiving the leadings of his spirit and walk around as a mature individual, because we're getting our direction not from this, as chapter 2 says, not from the system of the world, but we're getting our direction and our leading and our, we're living from him. It's like we got this backdoor source of direction and insight that the world doesn't have. So we're basically living like who we really are. The only difference between you as a new creation and natural man is you found out about it. And now that you're a new creation, he wants to spend his time reinforcing to you who, what your identity really is, because that's what it's always been. Whereas the natural man, he's taken his identity from everything that the world system tells him is so. And he doesn't realize that before he ever had that identity, he had an identity in God. God is the only one that knows who he is, knows how he thinks, knows every hair on his head, knows everything about him. In fact, he knows his end from the beginning. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. But the system in the world that he's connected to, that he chooses to connect to, because that's all his mind, his will, and his emotions can connect to, that system is telling him is something else. Why do you think we have young folks that they spend their whole growing up life trying to find out who they are? It's because they're disconnected from the one that actually knows. Because their identity was in him before it was ever anything else. The greatest thing that we can do as new creations, folks, is to demonstrate and model what this new model looks like and how it functions. There are things that the religious system has told you that don't belong to you, that are not you, that your daddy doesn't do that anymore, that is simply a lie. Because it's not consistent with his identity of who you really are. And I think the biggest shortcoming that most religious systems have had is because they didn't see the big picture. All they saw was what happened after the fall, and their point of origin and reference was that. And they never realize that the picture is much bigger than that. We have an eternal God, so our identity and existence goes back into eternity before there ever was a man, before there ever was something that was done wrong. And it goes way into the future in eternity. There's no end. In fact, you know, it says here in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that in verse 15, it says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord which exists among you, and your love for all of the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayer, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. There it is again. We have a daddy who loves to show out. He's the God of glory. Go read it. Go read Acts chapter, what is it? Acts chapter 7, remember where Stephen started giving a recount to the Jewish people? And he starts talking about all the, and he's talking to a bunch of Sadducees, that's what I love. He's standing in front of the ruling party of the day was the Sadducees. They didn't believe in anything supernatural, nothing that was supernatural at all. Okay, so he stands up and he starts giving a history, he starts giving an account of the Jewish history of the God of glory. Every example he gave was God showing up in the natural arena where man can touch it, feel it, handle it. It was a God that wasn't hidden in a closet somewhere that never talked to anybody. Every example that Stephen gave was a God, the God of glory, who liked to come over into this natural arena, show up and show off. Every example. Well, that kind of ticked him off. But then when he said, I see the heavens open, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, that really ticked him. That made those religious demons scream. Because he just reminded them, you can't touch this. There's a man at the right hand of the Creator of the universe, the same one I just got done talking to you about, that liked to show off. Well, he showed off in bringing his Son into the earth, and now his Son stands, the very one you crucified, he stands at the very right hand of God, and he's standing up right now. And then they got mad, and they had the first rock concert. But even though they took Stephen off the earth, did that change anything? No. Was Jesus, the man, still at the right hand of the Creator of the universe? Yes. Did we lose any grounds in our authority or anything like that? No. Paul says here, he said, my prayer for you, verse 17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you. Now listen carefully how I word this. My prayer is that the Father of glory would give to you a spirit that belongs to wisdom and a spirit that belongs to understanding. Or I could say a spirit that belongs to revelation. In the revelation knowledge that belongs to Him. I'm going to read that again. He said, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you. Now, understand what he's saying. When he says the Father of glory, you've got to understand something. This is really what Ephesians is dealing with. Because of what Jesus did, the second member of the Godhead came out of heaven into the earth as a man. He just joined heaven and earth together. Heaven and earth are joined together now. There is no separation. The second member of the Godhead came out of heaven into earth as a man. He just connected the two together. He told his disciples, he said, you know, he told Nathaniel, you think you're all getting excited about the fact that I just told you who you were because I saw you under the fig tree. He said, you're going to, in the coming days, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That means that heaven and earth are connected. They're no longer disconnected. What Jesus did was he brought all that was in the eternal unseen realm and connected it to the seen realm, and the two are to flow as one. So when Paul is praying here, I'm praying that the God of glory, there's that transaction between what's in the unseen coming into the seen. The God of glory, the God of showing off, the God, he wants to be made famous. I love that. He's a God that wants to be made famous. He's the God of glory. Every time you see the word glory, I always think about this, making my daddy famous. He wants to come out of the unseen into the seen. He's the God of glory. And Paul says, now, in light of that same transaction of heaven, the unseen and the seen being connected, heaven and earth being made one, he said, my prayer for you is that you, in verse 17, he says, my prayer for you is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give to you a spirit that belongs to wisdom and a spirit that belongs to revelation in the revelation knowledge that comes from Him. Everybody say, unseen into the seen. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, now this is literally what it says in the Greek, I pray that the eyes of your heart, being or receiving enlightenment, so that you'll know what is the hope of His calling. What is His calling? His calling is that you've been placed as a mature one that live in your spirit, receiving leadings from His Spirit. Can you see the same connection between that which is in heaven and the earth? Heaven and earth have become one. Jesus took everything that was in heaven, He brought it into the earth. The two are connected now. See, the challenge with the religious system that's of the day and the religious system that's always been is it's always been put you in a tent and try to convince you that you were outside. And you're not. I don't care how good of pictures you paint on the wall and how real you make them. I've seen buildings where you look at the ceiling and it's like, man, those look like real clouds. But how many know I'm still living in a bubble? I'm not living outside. So the religious system of the day has told man, has put him in a shroud and told him this is really what life is, and there really is nothing else. When that's a complete lie. Because his identity was with God before man was ever on the planet. His identity has always been in God and has always been designed to be connected to God, to live out of His Spirit with the Father's Spirit in him. His Spirit given to wisdom and given to revelation, that which is coming from Daddy. That's the way the track's laid. And that's the only way that He's created man to live. He said, our calling is, He placed us as a son. Now, what does that mean to be placed as a son? To be placed as a mature one. The word adoption doesn't mean what we say it means. And some of you guys already know this. But it doesn't mean that, you were daddyless and, He picked you up off the ground and, He took you out of an orphanage and, He wiped you off and wiped off your face and said, I'll make you my kid. But you've heard that taught, haven't you? That's not what adoption means at all. The word adoption means, from their society, means it's the placing of a mature one. There comes a point in time in a child's life, he's always had the same daddy. But there comes a point in time in that child's life where he's matured enough that the daddy, the father, stands that child up in the front of all of his friends and all of his crowds, and he tells him, this now, he has crossed over from being a child into a man, and he now is responsible, and he now governs all of my estate. It's for him to run. That's what this word means. Daddy always intended for human beings to live connected in their spirit with His Spirit, receiving downloads from heaven into the earth. And remember what Jesus told the disciples? They said, hey, teach us how to pray. He said, okay, pray like this. Father, Your name be holy and magnified and separated and sanctified in the earth. I want Your name to be holy. And Your will that's in heaven, in earth too. The two are connected. And so He says, I pray that your spirit be given enlightenment, that you'll know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in you. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power in us or toward us? Now listen carefully how I word this, because this is how the Greek New Testament words it. He says, He wants us to know the greatness of the surpassing greatness of His power in us and towards us who are believing on an ongoing, constant basis in accordance with the working of the strength of His might that He used to raise up Jesus from the dead. Now, what is He saying? In other words, He wants us to understand that because of our connection and because of that entrance of revelation, because we learn to live out of our spirit with the presence of Him, His Holy Spirit in us, that spirit, our spirit given to wisdom, His wisdom, our spirit given to revelation, His revelation, that which He reveals to us, because we're given there, and we're given to that, and we're living connected. And that's the process that we live and function by. We live and move and have our being from the place of our spirit given to His wisdom, and our spirit given to the revelation that He reveals to us. We're not living out of our head. We're not living out of our mind. We're not living out of our concept of God. We're not living out of what Daddy and them told us who God was. We're not living about in the culture that we came out of who they said God was. We're not living out of the religious system who they said God was. We're living with Him because He's in us. And we cultivate that fellowship, that connection that between heaven and earth. We cultivate that connection and we allow His wisdom to become our wisdom. And we allow the revelation that He releases to us about Himself to become who He is to us. And He says when you do that, He desires that we would know the surpassing greatness of His power. Oh, and by the way, this power has absolutely zero limits. Because if you stop and read this, it says He wants us to function and under the surpassing greatness of power to us who are believing along the lines of that which the working of the strength is that He brought when He raised Jesus from the dead. There is no more opposition on this planet than that which was exercised against keeping Jesus in the grave. You understand what I mean when I say that? In other words, there's no further opposition available that wasn't already used to try to keep Jesus in the grave. And Father raised Him up. It didn't say it took Him 21 days because there was such a great battle. He thought he had him raised a couple of times, but no, darkness swooped in and put him back down. You don't read about any of that mess, because that's not how it happened. In the environment of the totality of resistance from all that darkness was and had, against keeping Jesus from being raised from the dead, Father said, okay, it's been done. He raised Jesus up. He said that same magnitude of power that has no equal. I want you to understand that's in you. Because we're connected. See, you start to understand, you start to get this picture that this book really has nothing to do with a process of trying to be anything. It's all about, if you hang out with your daddy long enough, he wants to tell you who you already are. And that identity goes far back, even before there ever was a, quote, fall. And he wants us to understand and live from that place. That place has nothing to do with whether you're good enough. What's the point of trying to be good enough if he already sees you perfect? It's kind of a waste of time, isn't it? That's why it's important that you understand your identity was in God before it was ever in anything that was fallen. So why are you trying to get back up? You're already up. In fact, he goes on to say here, he says, not only do I pray that you have a revelation of the surpassing greatness of his power that's in us who are believing in accordance with the same magnitude of the working of the strength of his might that he used when he raised Christ from the dead. But he also seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above the heavenly place, far above all power and dominion, every name that's named. He says, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Did you see what he just said? He said he raised him up and seated him in heavenly places, afar above all principalities, dominions, powers, and dominions, every name that's named, not only in this age that we're in, but also in the one that is coming. Do you understand how stupid it is for the religious system to try to sell man that in this age you're nothing? It's only in the next that counts. When this verse just told you that what's in the next is the same as what's now. They're the same. Whatever you would possibly be ever in eternity, this verse is saying you're that right now. You know why you're that right now? Because you were that in eternity past. That's who you've always been. Jesus came in as a man to pay the lien that was against human beings because of darkness. Once he got that lien out of the way, Daddy raised him up, seated him at his right hand, and when he seated him at his right hand, he seated the entire human race back to the place right next to him that he was always created to stand and exist in before the foundation of the world. His identity has always been in God. You guys get anything out of this at all? When we talk about living life in the kingdom, we have to stay in this place of understanding who we are. Because if you don't stay in this place of understanding who you are, and you don't stay in that place of understanding that every person that you run into out there comes from the same place. They just don't know. The religious system has been the worst marketing company ever of Daddy. Because, well, it's designed to be that way because the religious system is run by darkness just like the influences that natural man that runs off to the bars and runs off to shoot up heroin and runs off to all that stuff. It's the same source. It's all designed to just keep down, control, and dominate. Both systems come from the same place. But when you hook up with the Spirit of the living God And you begin to realize who you are as a new creation. The fact that your identity was in the Creator before it was ever in anything else. And as far as He's concerned, it never changed. He wants you to understand that all of His wisdom is your wisdom. Everything that He reveals belongs to you. In fact, there's a verse in the Old Testament, a very interesting verse. He says, that which is revealed from God, that which is revealed from God belongs to you. He gave us His Spirit. Why? So that we might know all those things that belong to us. Everything belongs to you. Get this, guys. Jesus came into the earth. He connected heaven and earth. It's now one. Heaven is open. There's a man at the right hand of the Creator of the universe in heaven. The title of God, the greatness of all that God is, and the authority of all that man has ever had is resident in one person, Jesus. That's why He had to come in the earth as a man. He secured the title of God Almighty and all of the authority that belongs to man in one place. Everything is unified. Everything is one. Everything that is in heaven belongs to you. He gave you His Spirit as a down payment so you'd know that. Our challenge has been because we've been raised by a system that was religious, it never told us how to hook up with that and how to learn to live out of that. But if you strip away all the religiousness and all the garbage that man has put into this book, you realize that our daddy is so great that all he wants us to know is this is who you were before there ever was a devil. This is who you were before there ever was a fall. This is who you were before there ever was any oppression by darkness. And you never ceased to be this in my eyes. I sent my Son to pay the lien so that you could once again realize by me putting my Spirit back into you and giving you your Spirit and causing you to live out of your Spirit as someone who is a mature one. So you could once again access all the wisdom that belongs to me and all the revelation that belongs to me. And when you access that wisdom and that revelation, it puts you in a place of being strengthened. This is chapter 2 of Ephesians. Being strengthened with might in your inner man. Because I put you at my right hand. Think about this, guys. When was the last time? All right, I'm going to stop because I don't keep going, but when was the last time? And Colossians deals with this. Colossians and Ephesians are twin books. Ephesians deals with the head, Ephesians deals with the body, Colossians deals with the head. One way or the other, maybe the other way around, but anyway, just read them both, you'll figure it out. Anyway, Colossians deals with the fact that your connection, your identity is in that place of being at His right hand. And we're supposed to keep our focus there. Not latch on to man-made ideas and man-made concepts and traditions that get passed down from natural people. Your origin and identity is not in that. Your origin and identity is in Him. It's not a religious environment. It's an environment of living connected. Whether you wear pants or a skirt has no variable on the identity of who you are. Whether you wear makeup or don't wear makeup has no variable on whether or not what your identity really is. The natural system says it does, but it doesn't. But that's all things that have been passed down by man. I wonder what would happen if in a city natural human beings were communicated the truth about what Jesus already did for you. Do you like groping around in the dark? You know you don't have to. Because the creator of the universe created you to live connected and to know all that he knows. In fact, he loves you so much that he sent his son into the earth to become you. To get darkness off your back. To reconnect you. To give you your right nature back and to put himself back in you again. And so that from that point on, you just learn how to live in that place of being connected and growing up into him. Because he took you out of the trash can. When he did that, he took you out of the trash can and he put you right back next to his throne where you were created to be. Because that's your identity right there. Did you know that? 100% of human beings don't know that. How come the church ain't telling them? That's the gospel. Get off the gerbil wheel. Don't have to try anymore. It doesn't matter. Because your identity was before the foundation of the world. He just wants to show that's who you really are. Because you always have been that. He just didn't know that. Even let some stepdad speak garbage into your ear and tell you how worthless you are. Did you guys get anything out of this? It's the good news.
Yes, it is.
And I look forward to the day when we have an auditorium of thousands of people because they all know that. But they don't just stop knowing that when they leave on Sundays. They know it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And because they know how to live connected, they just bring the kingdom out of the heavens into the earth. And it's just a natural process of who we are. And every day, people are meeting their daddy for the first time. The one who really tells them who they are. And they come running. Because they've always wanted to know. Let's stand. Just raise your hands to heaven. Say, Father, thank you for making heaven a reality in me, in the earth. Thank you for causing the unseen and the seen to be one in me. Thank you for giving me a spirit that's given to your wisdom. It's given to your revelation. And I just thank you that I choose to live, to move, and to have my being in that place forever. Everybody agree with that verse then? Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.